everyone. Today is March 21st, 2011, and you're listening to Real Food, Real Life. I'm your host and registered dietitian, Christina Petit of Eating the Good Life with ChristinaPetit.com. And I'm joined by my co-host and fellow food activist, Jerrica Cadman, owner of ShadyGroveRanch.net and TrueFields.com. Today we are going to be talking about what to feed your infant and how to make your own baby food and searching through all of the advice that's out there on the internet and in the baby books and parenting books right now. And we're going to discuss all of that. But first, Jerrica, do you have any food news for us today?
Yes. Actually, there's, you know, what's interesting about baby food is most people have children at some point in their life. And so baby food is definitely a relevant topic. And so, you know, most of the news things that you that occur with baby food, most people have heard about. So, like, you've heard of the BPA issues in canned goods, but particularly with baby food, and also the, you know, melamine poisoning back in 2008 with baby formula and, you know, all that different stuff. But one positive news piece that I found was that Iowa actually has just banned BPA in baby food containers, baby food, like baby bottles, baby pacifiers, thermoses, you know, food storage containers, all sorts of stuff, starting in 2 years. So that's actually a very positive move because most canned goods are have BPA in the lining of the cans. It's a I used to work with polymers, and it's actually like a curing. It's one of the additives to help cure the plastics. They line the cans so that they don't rust and cause other problems. But still, people are concerned about BPA leaching into foods, particularly acidic foods, and causing various poisoning things, birth defects, et cetera, stuff you really don't want your infant suffering from. So it's actually, from what I understand, it's an estrogenic-type compound, and it can actually cause high-dosage estrogen-related problems, and that's particularly in infants' reproductive system development, so that's bad. But anyway.
Speaking of infants, do you want to introduce our background noise, so everyone knows?
If you hear some bumping and squeaking, it's probably my son. He's almost a year old, and he's over there playing, finding buttons to push and things to eat that he probably shouldn't, but anyway, his name is Chevy, and he's, like I said, he'll be turning a year old here in just a couple of weeks. And Christina, you have a little one also.
I do. I have a 15-month-old, and he's almost a few days away from being 15 months. And he is asleep and napping right now, so hopefully we won't hear from him.
Yes. So we both are very into baby food right now.
Yes.
This is a baby food time of life. But anyway, this Iowa law bans manufacture, sale, or distribution of items that contain BPA starting in 2013. And manufacturers have to actually put a label on their products that they're BPA-free. So you'll be sure, as long as there's no corruption in the labeling and all that, that baby products will be BPA-free. Another piece of news I thought was kind of funny is that there's this a baby, I thought this was just ridiculous, but a baby food diet among celebrities right now. It's becoming popular.
What?
Gwyneth Paltrow, Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, and Lady Gaga say that they have totally lost a bunch of weight eating baby food. They are basically, their diet consists of 14 jars of baby food plus one regular meal.
Oh my gosh.
And it basically consists of about 1,100 mashed calories. And some nutritionists are saying, well, it's just a fad diet and it's going to be problematic because it's low in fiber and, just different things. But anyway, I thought it was pretty hysterical that they're enjoying their sweet potatoes and their mashed bananas. And that is not appealing to me at all.
That
I like to
hilarious.
Chew.
I know. I wonder if they're eating the pureed meats, too, from the jar.
Gross. I don't know. But anyways, that's news. I guess another, you know, of course, I was going to remind everyone of the 2008 melamine poisoning, just as a, you know, maybe a move toward people trying to make their own baby food so you don't have to worry about somebody else manufacturing it and worrying what is in it. Has it been tainted or, you know, whatever? Because you certainly don't want your baby to be the one that we find out, you know, oh, this is a tainted product.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's the news in baby food.
All right. First, let's talk about some of the conventional wisdom or advice that's out there for what to feed your baby. As a registered dietitian, there are certain things that we are taught in school to teach our clients and recommend for clients on what they should feed their babies. The interesting thing is that it's really not something that's researched. I mean, let's begin with, well, first of all, before you even start feeding your infant, you've got to decide if you want to breastfeed or formula feed. Or sometimes breastfeeding is not an option if you've adopted or have some medical issues. And the interesting thing about, and again, this is what we are taught in school to, as dietitians, to teach people. The interesting thing is we recommend, and I say that as dietitians in general, not myself, we recommend that formula is fine. I'm laughing at Chevy, sorry.
The cat just walked in. He loves animals.
As a whole, and doctors as well, we're taught to recommend that formula is an acceptable alternative to breast milk, even though it's typically sweetened with corn syrup. Mm. And the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends not having corn syrup before the age of one, even though corn syrup is in formula.
Well, there you go.
There's so many things like that, that it's like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing, even though it's all one body. But also, all the government agencies recommend, they can all agree on that your first source of nutrients should be from food. But when you're getting formula, your nutrients aren't coming from food. It's basically highly processed milk, sometimes, with crushed up artificial vitamins. So you're still not getting it from food. That's not a food source. I mean, if that's the same as taking artificial vitamins. So, you know, but they recommend getting it from food. So we're going to talk about later on the possibilities for homemade formula and how to do that and that sort of thing. Are you going to go over that, by the way?
Yes.
Little bit. Okay. Uh-huh. We can put a link in the show notes. I'm going to do that this time. We can put the link in the show notes to a recipe, too, so we don't have to recite it over air.
Yeah, actually, it's pretty long. But.
Yeah, because that might be easier for everybody. So that's the first typical recommendation, is that formula is fine. And the next step is introducing solids. And most medical professionals will recommend rice cereal. There is no research out there showing that there are benefits of starting with rice cereal. It's more of a...
Sorry, love animal.
Chevy is laughing hysterically at the cat right now.
Cat's like, what did I do?
There is no research out there stating the benefits of starting a baby out on rice cereal. It's more of a habit of recommendation among professionals rather than...
I had actually read that that a lot of times they introduce that as a good learning, quote-unquote, learning food. It's, you know, because actually I found a quote from, well, not a quote directly, but Dr. Alan Green of Stanford University says that feeding rice cereal is actually linked to obesity later in life, and it's basically no better than feeding spoonfuls of sugar.
Yes.
But another dietitian on that particular article stated that, you know, well, we do rice cereal because it's an easy texture for babies, it's easy to prepare,
it's a good
learning food. So
yes, but health wise definitely there's no benefit, but there are other alternatives that you can give them, which we'll talk about other than the rice cereal. And I don't go over this to knock my own profession or other dietitians or doctors
or moms who
have done this. I don't do that by any means, but we want to just discuss kind of the reasoning why people have recommended this, and what is different about the way people have eaten for thousands of years that have produced healthy people versus us. We're not producing healthy people right now. We need to really look at what we're feeding our babies. And rice cereal is one of the ways to just start off wrong.
Yeah.
But as I said, I don't say that to knock my profession as dietitians or physicians or anything else. It's really just recommended out of habit. And just because we've been saying it so long, it's written in textbooks, and it's written on websites, and there's just really no research to back that up. And again, well, I'll wait. I have so much I want to say. But Jerrica has a lot about what to do, so we'll just skip back to the other thing. So the Rice cereals are usually recommended first, introducing other grains in those first 4 to 6 months, like oatmeal and other highly processed grains. Then usually the doctor or dietitian, sometimes at the 4 to 6 months, they'll say, and usually after 6 months, they'll say to start introducing maybe the sweeter vegetables, sweet potatoes,
bananas,
peas, carrots, those type things. And at 5 to 7 months, usually professionals will say it's okay to give at least diluted juices, that sort of thing. And then later on, closer to 8 months, more green vegetables, regular fruit juice, then pureed meats, and fruit all in there as well. And then at 1 year, then they allow eggs, peanut butter.
Honey,
yes.
More of the allergenic type, you know.
All the highly allergenic type things. And in there, and in those stages, there are several food baby companies, baby food companies, that have their own recommendations. And this is what I find most alarming, is that, you know, you don't always follow what your pediatrician says or the dietitian, because, I mean, really, how often do you see them? But you read parents read parenting magazines, and what we see are ads. And the ads dictate when you're at stage one, stage two, stage three, according to that company's products and what they want to sell. So when you get to that, what parents are typically feeding are a lot of extremely highly processed foods at 6 months.
Yeah.
Every kind of puffed
shape. Well, you know, they say one of the first finger foods is Cheerios.
Yes.
You know, because they're easy to grab and they sort of melt in your mouth, whatever.
Yeah.
But the trouble with Cheerios is they're considered an extruded cereal, and the proteins, by the time they make it to the Cheerio, are so denatured and just mutilated that...
Toxic at that point.
Yes.
They're carcinogenic.
Yes. And actually, I read I don't know if we talked about this in the last podcast, but have you ever heard the cornflake study? Where it was kind of a joke. I forget what university did it, but it was a larger university. But it was sort of a joke to look at, okay, well, you know, we'll see how rats do on cornflakes. We have a control group of rats on rat chow. We have a group of rats eating cornflakes, and we have a group of rats eating the box that the cornflakes came in. They just tore up the cardboard and fed it to the rats. And, you know, and that part was just kind of, they were kidding, just, you know, whatever. Well, it actually turned out that the cornflake rats all died before the first cardboard rat died.
Oh, my goodness.
In other words, the last cornflake rat died on the first day the cardboard rats died of malnutrition and starvation.
Wow.
And the death, you know, they did like autopsies and things, and they actually found that the rats appeared to have some kind of toxic shock. You know, they basically had a, I think they said insulin shock, basically, like a diabetic type mortality or whatever. But when they were fed cornflakes, of course, the rat chow rats did fine the whole time. But anyway, so that's what we're feeding our infants. You know, is things that are causing insulin shock, toxic shock in mice.
Well, I had to go to the grocery store this morning, and I thought I don't go down the baby aisle ever. I have no reason to. And even though I have an infant, there's nothing on there, really, that I would feed my child. And but I did today. There are so many boxes of things to feed your 6-month-old, 8-month-old. And they'll have 20 ingredients in them. And that's not a whole food. That is a highly processed food, and an expensive, highly processed food. And there's tons of it, puffed strawberries, puffed vegetables. And basically they amount to sugar, lots of soy additives.
Mm-hmm. Stabilizers.
Stabilizers, yes. And again, you're still not getting your nutrition from food, because some of them are fortified with different vitamins and minerals, but definitely not whole foods vitamins or minerals.
And the reason for that is a lot of the vitamins that you need every day are not heat or processing stable, so they get ruined during the processing of the food, so that they'll sit on the shelf and last 6 months.
The labels I read didn't begin with much food to begin with. I mean, you know, it's not
right. But
Yeah, there wasn't even anything to process out. It's a bunch of man-made ingredients stuck together. Well, it was really bad.
Yeah, but what amazes me is that people are buying canned bananas. A banana is not hard to mash. And you know, you have to think in terms of, well, bananas are full naturally of all kinds of enzymes. So if you just get a raw banana and mash it up, you have all these extra enzymes that make it easy for your baby to digest. You don't have to worry about melamine poisoning.
Right.
And you know, and it's cheaper. It's much cheaper.
It's much cheaper. And I think it's overwhelming. As a new mom, there's so many things you want to research and study and figure out before your baby is born. And you get to the food aspect of it, and there's so many advertisements offering these picture-perfect babies and mm-hmm. give your baby a good start, and this is what good moms do. And so it's just easy to go... Mm-hmm. Okay, that's the direction I'm going, because that's what's in your face all the time. Mm-hmm. When there are so many simpler and less expensive and much more healthy choices out there, which so I understand the overwhelmingness of it. And when you talk about making your own baby food or feeding your baby whole foods, it can seem like a lot, but it's really just sharing what you already have on the dinner table. So we definitely don't want to blame any moms out there for what they are already feeding their kids. And I know it's an overwhelming thought when you're trying to research everything. Sometimes mm-hmm. food falls through the cracks. But we want to definitely provide lots of information today of encouragement and hopefully some peace of mind that will make things easier for you. Jerrica, do you want to go into more traditional diets?
Sure. Sorry, I had to rescue my child. Well, yeah, and, you know, people, when I started researching, I have just one child, and when I started researching, I didn't, you know, I have zero experience with babies. I never really babysat infants or anything like that. So when I started looking into foods, we kind of just take a no-nonsense approach about it. You know, I'm thinking, okay, well, my child is eating breast milk at this point, you know. Which luckily I was healthy enough to produce milk for my child to breastfeed. And so when it started, you know, he started becoming interested in food and sitting up and having, you know, he had teeth and everything. I thought, well, let me choose first foods that are very similar to breast milk. And that's not going to be things like strained peas or green beans, because green beans are nothing like milk at all, not in any way. And, you know, so I thought, okay, well, animal protein, something with fat and cholesterol, because mother's milk is very high in fat and cholesterol. It's got some sugar, so sugar, you know, can be okay. But in particular, I want animal proteins and animal fats, because that's what's in breast milk, is animal proteins and animal fats. So actually, one of the first foods I chose was yogurt, just homemade, you know, regular old cow milk yogurt. And, you know, second, I've heard a lot about egg yolks, which really makes sense to me, because, you know, if you think of an egg as like a baby chicken is in there, well, the first thing the baby chicken eats is an egg yolk. And chickens are very similar to humans in digestion. You know, their digestive tract is about the same length. They tend to prefer eating a lot of the same things. And so an egg yolk seems like a very sensible first food also. And it's extremely nutrient-dense. It's one of the most nutrient-dense things that you can get. Very high in cholesterol, very high in saturated fat.
And choline. Which is very important for brain development.
Vitamin K, vitamin A and D, if they're from pastured chickens. So egg yolk was also one of the things I fed him. Let's see.
Why don't you discuss how to prepare the egg yolk properly? That's okay. What we started Archer out on.
Yeah.
Egg yolk.
What I did was actually I would soft boil an egg, or I made, if I wanted to cheat and make it really easy, I did an over easy egg, and I'd actually just break it and let the egg yolk run into some milk. I gave him cow's milk also very early, because that's very similar. I mean, it's milk, so milk is milk. So I just would put some egg yolk into his formula, It wasn't formula. I started supplementing some milk, and I'd put the egg yolk in that and just shake it up and feed it to him in a liquid form. And eventually, you know, I started soft boiling the eggs so that they'd be really, really soft, and just give them little pieces to gnaw on. Or I'd mix them into the yogurt, whatever. Another first food that I gave Chevy was liver. Chicken liver is very palatable. It's very soft and easy to chew for babies because it can be ground up into like a kind of a bean paste type texture. So I gave him liver, which is also high in vitamin A and cholesterol, very similar to mother's milk. It's an animal protein source. It also has, well, I think I said vitamin A already, but it's very similar. So those are the kinds of things we chose. And we also chose bananas because they're high in enzymes, and we give them a little bit of banana, but always with something fatty like butter. I'd mix butter and bananas together, or yogurt or something like that. Because, you know, breast milk is so, it has protein and fat and sugar, I decided to always feed those three in combination so that my child wouldn't just be eating sugar. But we still have not fed any rice cereal. I have given him like tastes of oatmeal here and there just because that's what I'm eating, and I let him try it. But again, you know, always with cream of some kind, you know, yogurt, something fatty, butter if I have it, and stuff like that. So,
and like we didn't do rice cereal either, but it is the number one source of calories for babies in America besides breast milk or formula. So after breast milk or formula, I guess that would make it the number two source of calories. And basically, it's the equivalent of feeding your baby spoonfuls of sugar. It's recommended because it is white rice is recommended because it's easy to digest, but it's easy to digest because it's been stripped away of everything nutritious. So basically, it is like feeding your baby sugar, which disrupts the whole digestion system and is not good for them to begin with. So that's why we've both left rice cereal out, mm-hmm. among the other reasons we spoke about earlier.
A lot of people all the time among first-time, or not first-time moms, but young infants, is I started feeding my child solids, and now they're constipated. And that is like a chronic problem around the board. And Chevy has never had constipation problems. He did go through a period when during growth spurts, but he was still strictly breastfed, where he would only have a bowel movement every 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
It's like really long. And I've heard and I read, you know, I was like, oh no, what have I done?
Yeah.
But he was only on breast milk, and I read about it, and it made sense. You know, he's just going through a growth spurt, and he's extracting all of the energy out, you know, and calories and stuff out of the breast milk. But then he'd eventually poop, and everything's fine, and he never, you know, he was still peeing, and that's your real key, like, okay, is my baby dehydrated, is he constipated, you know, well, he's still urinating regularly, and at that time, he was still going, like, every half hour, you know, so I knew he was getting plenty of water.
Sure.
It was just his body was getting as much as it could out of the breast milk so that he could grow and go through that growth spurt. But since we started solids, you know, he only goes about once a day now. But he's, you know, as long as I give him enough water, now that I'm giving him a lot of solids, as long as he gets enough water, he has regular bowel movements. They're fine. They're not too hard. He doesn't, you know, turn bright pink and pop blood vessels to go. Not to be gross, but that's what we, you know, that's kind of how we evaluate our children's health is by their bowel movements.
Or adult health as well.
Yeah.
I've always said that my job has a lot to do with poop.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I have to know to assess
As farmers,
to get real personal.
Yes, as farmers, that is one of the number one ways we know if our cows are doing all right, eating well, and you know, is we look at their manure. We say, okay, well, is it too soft? Is it too hard? You know, what do they need? What color is it? That's how we tell.
Constipation is an issue for a lot of children when they start. On solid foods, and like we talked about before, the white rice is essentially feeding your kid a bowl of sugar with no nutritional value. And one of the things sugar does is it shuts down the intestinal tract, and so that's where the constipation comes in. It's not a need for more fiber because it is a processed food without fiber. It's not necessarily a need for more fiber because they have immature systems at this point and cannot handle a heavy grain, like wheat and all that, with a whole grain with the fiber. It's more of the fact that it turns to sugar, and that just shuts down the intestinal tract.
Mm-hmm. And I would venture to say my husband has ulcerative colitis, and I think that as you're feeding your infant, you know, it's essential to have healthy digestion from an early age, because I believe it has so much to do with your intestinal health later. You know, you're really putting the foundation down. One of the things I wanted to bring up was you know, probiotics, use of probiotics. And this isn't directly related, but certainly, like, if your baby's having chronic constipation or chronic diarrhea, even if you're not feeding rice cereal, you may need to look into probiotics. And there's one in particular they found to be very beneficial to infants. It's called Infantis Bifidus, or Bifidus Infantis. And it's actually found in the woman's birth canal. And so babies who are born via C-section a lot of times don't pick it up on the way, you know, on the way through the birth canal, because they don't go through the birth canal. So it's just interesting, you know, because, you know, a lot of times in adults you hear, you know, all the Activia commercials. Oh, you're not regular? Try Activia. Well, it's the probiotics. That's the reason that works. There's nothing special about Activia. It's just, it's good bacteria in the diet of from live foods.
Yes. So, and if you're nursing, it's good for the mother to get a lot of probiotics in her mm-hmm. diet through yogurt, especially homemade yogurt, because then it's not going to have all the sugar. And for the mom to have a good diet will flow down to the baby. But if you're having to use formula, you introduce yogurt as an early food. I mean, that is just...
It's very digestible, high in enzymes.
A great fermented food that's going to have the probiotics in it. Definitely good. One thing I never did that the Weston A. Price Foundation recommends is the fermented sweet potatoes. And again, that did you ever try that?
I have made them, but I never fed them to baby.
It was highly recommended for babies. We have not made them. I don't know why. I never got around to it.
Yeah.
He started on, I don't know why we never did. But anyway, but that would be another source for some good probiotics mm-hmm. in the diet, some good fermented foods for the baby.
Well, and another problem with feeding a lot of carbohydrates at a young age is their carbs. I mean, if I eat oatmeal for breakfast, I am hungry an hour later, and that is bad. Because carbohydrates tend to be digested very quickly. Well, maybe not in a baby's intestines because their intestines are so immature, but in adults, that it just goes right through you. It just gets absorbed as sugar. You burn up your energy or whatever, and suddenly you're hungry again. And what I have found. Is that fat is very satisfying. It really extends the life of the meal, I guess you could say. And so I've always fed Chevy a lot of fat alongside proteins and carbohydrates in order to ensure that he's staying satisfied for a long time and not, getting hungry in the middle of the night, whatever. He's been sleeping through the night for, golly, I don't know how long. It's been quite a while, probably since 4 or 5 months. But I know moms who have babies who are, almost a year and are still not sleeping through the night, and they're even despite the fact that they're on a lot of solids. But what I have observed in some of them is it's just bananas or just sweet potatoes, or even if they don't feed rice cereal, it's just something starchy, just peas or green beans. If you had a can of green beans for dinner, would you be hungry?
Yeah,
yes,
exactly.
throw some butter on them, mix some cream in or something, because it's that is what makes your body feel full is eating some fat. And I would venture to argue that it's very essential.
Critically essential for a developing baby. And at least pediatricians and dietitians and conventional medical staff do agree that the infants do need a lot of fat.
But they'll tell you, it doesn't have to be saturated fat. It can be whatever fat, it can be avocados. It can be from, I don't know where else they could get fat, I guess, but... It doesn't have to be animal fat, but we believe animal fat is, because, that's what's in breast milk. It's animal fat and cholesterol.
It's 60% fat if a healthy mother, mm-hmm. if it's a healthy mother, that breast milk is 60% fat.
Yeah, but soy milk has zero cholesterol, which makes sense, because I don't think there are any plant sources of cholesterol whatsoever.
No, it only comes from animals.
Yeah, so if you're allergic to cholesterol, you're not going to get it from anywhere but, egg yolks or butter or,
if you're allergic
beef
to
fat.
Milk.
I'm sorry. Allergic to cholesterol.
I know what you meant.
I'm sorry. If you're allergic to, if your baby's on soy milk, they're on soy milk for a reason, and it's because they're having some kind of, animal protein allergy, which we'll get into another time. But anyway, cholesterol is so essential in the brain and in the digestive system too. It's actually cholesterol is used to manufacture hormones. It's used to manufacture vitamin D, which is a hormone. All kinds of stuff. So anyway. Just the idea that you'd feed your baby a cholesterol-free formula is kind of scary and disappointing that there's not, some alternative if you have an allergy-prone baby.
And I have a daughter that turned 6 this week, so we have 2 kids, and we've always fed them from the table. Jarred baby food is expensive and just kind of an annoying unnecessary thing. I don't want to have to go down an extra aisle, buy extra food, have extra tiny jars.
It's 80 cents an ounce.
And I would have never bought conventional, so I would pay more. What did you say? $1.80 for the organic?
Yeah, I was buying some food for my for a relative that's visiting, and because she does just regular baby food, and anyway, I think I looked at the organic, and we're talking like $1.60 for this tiny little,
1 mil.
Yeah, my goodness, I don't think no wonder that people can't afford to have kids.
Yeah, well, and it's deficient food anyway, But so we've always just fed our children straight from the tables. If we were having, from our dinner table, if we were having carrots, I just mashed them up. Would use a little cream or butter with it to thin it out, depending on what that baby could handle at that time. Carrots, squashes, and I got a tiny, with Savannah, with my first child, a tiny baby food maker that would only hold maybe 2 cups. And that was perfect for whatever we had for dinner. Then I could just puree it and serve it to her immediately. And, of course, I did big batches of things as well.
I freeze them into ice cube trays.
Yes, it's that's what wonderful. I would do. And then pop them out and put them in bigger containers to store them. We fed a lot of organic foods from the garden. So, of course, if I had, like, a big batch of squash or whatever, I would cook it, puree it, and freeze it.
And then you take it. You take your little ice cube or two out of the freezer. You throw it in a you know, I'd put it in, like, a little... I have a little stainless steel tiny little bowl that I put on straight onto the stove, and I heat it up that way.
Yes.
And it is just so convenient. Oh, my goodness.
It's
wonderful.
And you know exactly how fresh it is, where it came from. You know what's in it. You can add your farm fresh butter or cream to it. That's going to have, you know, all the benefits of fats from grass-fed animals. And it's peace of mind. Yeah. Not to mention convenience.
Yes.
It seems overwhelming. You make all your baby food. It's actually extremely convenient.
Yes. You don't have to worry, oh my gosh, I'm out of everything. You know,
yes.
Like I ran out of pureed bananas, whatever.
Yeah, it's always stocked and supplied. I have bought a few jars. I think in the time, I'm thinking back to when Archer was on baby food, being over a year, he doesn't consume any now. I mean, well, technically, I guess he never consumed store-bought baby food. But I did buy maybe 3 or 4 jars of baby food because we do travel often. And when I didn't want to mash something in a car or it just wasn't convenient, or more for variety because of things I couldn't mash that needed pureeing, I did buy a couple jars of baby food this time.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, when we've been traveling, now we haven't really done many overnight trips. Being farmers, we're kind of stuck at home, but, you know, we've had like day trips and some, you know, some little excursions where we needed some baby food on the go. And this sounds gross, but it makes total sense to me that we would actually just chew up some of our own stuff and give it to Chevy, you know, like in our hand or whatever, give him little pinches of whatever we were eating. And, I mean, that sounds weird, but like...
We do that too.
Yeah. Why not? Why, you know, babies can't chew, and the best form of food for them would be pre-chewed, like, you know, it's got saliva in it already, which helps start to digest it. And it just makes so much sense for a child to eat that, you know, and you're worried about germs or whatever while they're breastfeeding. I mean, come on.
Right. Well, and the saliva in your mouth. You know,
yeah,
helps to start breaking down that food.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
I mean,
so if you're really in a you know, stuck or whatever, just chew it up and give him some of whatever you're eating.
Yes.
And if you're eating it and you're worried that it's not good for him, you probably shouldn't be eating
exactly.
it.
Exactly. I had a friend that said that years ago after she was pregnant. She said, you know, I kind of started thinking all those things I cut out, like artificial sweeteners and things when I was pregnant.
Donuts.
If I shouldn't eat them when I'm pregnant, I probably shouldn't eat them at
That's
all.
That's right, yeah.
That is wisdom right there.
Yes, it shouldn't be like a major life change to be breastfeeding or pregnant because you probably shouldn't be eating that stuff anyway.
Yes. One of my other favorite baby foods, we pureed everything. We gave meat early. We did fermented foods, yogurts, things like that early, pureed, and tried to limit the fruit a little bit more. But one of my favorite things was baby custard, which is like just eggs and cream without the sugar. And, oh, it's wonderful. And we worked hard to get fat in the diet. Like you said, it makes everything, makes the vitamins and minerals and the other things that you're giving them, the vegetables, more easily absorbed and utilized by the body. And so a little baby custard was good for us. Did y'all ever do that?
No, I guess not. I did give him a lot of egg yolk and just in the milk, you know.
Archer stopped liking the egg yolk very quick. He loved it for about a month, and then he ditched that
food. Yeah, I think Chevy was sort of the same way, but by the time he started to love it, he actually started liking picking stuff up off his tray. I mean, he really couldn't feed himself, you know, at 8 months or whatever, but he liked to, you know, to kind of stick his, he's always been like the one finger guy, and he'd stick his little finger in,
It's okay.
in whatever he had on his tray and kind of put it in his mouth. And he, you know, he was teaching himself, but also getting a little bit of nutrition as well. But I would mostly give it to him on a spoon. So.
A few recommendations. Any fruit that has a lot of pectin in it, like apples or peaches, is better digested if you stew it or saute it or cook it a little bit first. And don't give the peel. That's a little bit hard. Well, you know, even pureeing it in.
Choked on or whatever.
Well, even pureeing it in, it's just more difficult to digest. Mm-hmm. So the high pectin fruits, I do recommend you cooking mm-hmm. before giving it to the baby. And we withheld grains from our child until about 10 months old. I think we introduced him because Christmas was coming up and we knew family were going to feed him things anyway. You know, he gets passed around. We have a large family and that Archer would probably spend a lot of time being passed around, and mm-hmm. I'm not going to monitor everything yeah. that he's given, and, you know, if my grandmother wants to give him something, so mm-hmm. be it. But so we introduced grains just a little bit early in preparation for Christmas. But I do want to say that whole grains are very difficult to digest, and I'd love to do a whole issue on, or a whole podcast on grains. They're difficult for the body to digest, and so that's why you see all those highly processed grains in the baby food aisle. But like we talked about, then they're just processed down to sugar, and they have all these artificial vitamins and minerals in them, which aren't good for the baby. The baby should be getting the food vitamins and minerals from the food source. So the grains were actually pretty pointless until their intestinal and GI system matures enough to handle whole grains. And we introduce them very gradually, and we try really hard to make that not the staple in his diet.
Yes, I think that's important even after they're able to even feed themselves, yes. You know, so that they're not just eating grains.
And it does make it difficult because the convenient things yeah. are put it on a carbohydrate of some kind right. to, you know, especially when they want to feed themselves all the time.
Yeah.
Peanut butter sandwich, cheese toast, you know, those are your more portable foods. And right. so it does take, that's when the effort comes in, is after the, you know, to
baby
not.
Baby food is easy.
Right, that's the easy stage. That after that, not to succumb to yeah. normal, you know,
with
feeding habits.
With two thick pieces of bread and one little skinny piece of cheese.
Right,
and,
yes.
That's only part cheese.
Yeah.
Well, and I would say that, you know, for Chevy, we also introduced grains early, but not in very large quantity. He still really does not eat a lot of bread or grain of any kind. But it really depends on the child. I actually have already given him egg whites. I've been giving him egg whites for quite some time now because from an early age, he was always a good eater. He always had lots and lots of, you know, fermented yogurt and very healthful foods. And so I could tell his digestion is super healthy. He's not going to tend to have problems with leaky gut syndrome, which can cause allergies and stuff. So I was comfortable feeding him things like egg whites and raw milk, you know, and stuff like that early because I felt that his digestion is healthy enough, robust enough to handle that. And he's been doing fine. He actually, every morning for the last month or so, has been eating scrambled eggs with mommy because that's what I eat. So I just give yeah. him, you know, some of mine and give him some pieces of my toast, just a little bit of toast with lots of butter on it. And so I think, you know, it really just depends on the child. If allergies run heavily in your family or digestion problems seriously run in your family, then I'd say, you know, steer clear of the allergenic things, the whole grains, stuff like that for even longer.
Yes, I agree. Especially if you have any gluten intolerance in the family, mm-hmm. Definitely stay away. We were tried to give, when we did introduce grains, only soaked and sprouted grains yeah. that have been broken down to make that gluten easier for
Archer. With lots of fat,
yep. Yes. I have to apologize now for a neighbor using a chainsaw to do yard work across the street. This is going to be the noisiest podcast ever. But you do want to avoid honey for the first year just because of their immature immune system, or I'm sorry, intestinal tract. There can be spores in honey that could cause botulism just in infants because of the immature intestines. But it's very, very rare, but you should wait till around a year for that. Also, you want to avoid any commercial formula, not just for the corn syrup, but it's basically just highly processed dead milk with sugar and artificial vitamins and minerals that are not good for the baby. We'll share with you a way that you can make your own formula as well a little bit later on. teething biscuits, full of sugar, trans fats, all the processed, what I call Frankenfoods. They're, if you look on a food label, first of all, if it's labeled a baby food, it is usually not a whole food. They have all these weird foods that by looking at it, you can't tell what it is. If you look, see a picture on the label and can't tell what it is, you should not buy it. If you look at the ingredients, and there are multiple ingredients, you should not buy it. They should eat whole foods. They should eat an egg. They should eat a pureed apple. They should be eating whole foods. We don't want to get them started on these Frankenfoods that are these weird, odd, man-made, unrecognizable foods.
Yeah. A good alternative to teething biscuits we found was a couple ice cubes with a rubber band and a washcloth. You know, just a tight yes. rubber band, and they gnaw on that.
We froze an organic carrot, and before he had teeth, he wasn't a raw. My baby's awake now, so this is Archer you're hearing. We froze a carrot, and before he had teeth, it was fine. He wasn't going to chip a piece of it off in his mouth. We gave him a very fat piece at the end, not the little tiny tip that could break off.
That's a good idea.
You want to avoid anything ultra-pasteurized or pasteurized, because as we've talked about in the previous, those proteins are so mutilated. Their tiny little system definitely cannot handle that. It's hard enough on ours. Think about their immature GI tract. They can't. You want to get good raw dairy from good sources.
And, you know, a good way to think of it, this is what I believe, you know, is that, like, it's different for an adult. I mean, it's still not good for an adult to eat a lot of processed stuff, but we're done growing. We're done building our bodies, and you know, pretty much at this point we're just doing maintenance. But babies are building their brains, they're building their limbs, they're building their bones, they're, you know, all of their stuff that's not even in existence yet is being built by what they're eating, and that is where they're getting their everything. And so if it's donuts here and there, or if it's teething biscuits, or, you know, processed milk formula, or soy formula even, that's all they have to work with, and so their body just has to make do, and if it just doesn't have the tools, it doesn't have the tools, and you end up with various diseases, or, problems, or, you know, need surgeries here and there, whatever.
Yes, every meal counts at this age. And also, they're so much smaller than us. And I'm sure when each of you out there was pregnant, if you're listening to this and you've had a child, their heart rate, if you remember, is extremely high when you listen to it when you're pregnant. That's their metabolism. Their metabolism is so much higher than ours. And by that, I don't mean they can eat whatever they want and stay skinny. It's not the world's version of metabolism. By that, I mean they utilize and process food so much more differently than us that it goes through them very quickly, and they use it. And with their metabolism, they can get things at a toxic level much more than us. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the fact that they're small, but it has more to do with their metabolism. So when we talk about getting toxins in the body, trans fats, mutilated proteins, also pesticides, that affects them much more. It affects them in the womb and in infancy more than any other time of life, and research shows us this. Also, the pesticides are supposedly deemed safe at safe levels in foods for an adult. They are not tested for children or infants. Mm-hmm. So you add to that it's an extremely high load for a small being, and they metabolize it so much more that this is the time to be the most careful of what you give them. Juice is another one. We talked about sugar disrupting the homeostasis of the intestinal tract, not to mention affecting the blood sugar. It fills the baby up so they won't eat nutrient-dense foods, which are so critical right now. So you want to avoid giving any juice. It's really not even helpful for adults. There's no point when real food is available to drink juice.
People think, oh, well, vitamin C. Well, it's artificial vitamin C. Anyway, just take yourself a vitamin C pill if you're worried about vitamin C. Just save yourself the teeth rot of juice. Some people send their kids to bed with juice.
Well, a trend now is just to give diluted juice.
Yeah.
But it's not, I mean, you're still setting your kids up used to having to have sweet foods versus more salty or sour foods, which the sour foods, you want them to have a taste more for sour, for good ferment.
Chevy loves just plain yogurt. He loves it.
Yes, and that's what we feed our kids.
And I've gotten accustomed to eating it too, but a lot of people shy away from, like, oh, well, I'm not going to feed that to myself, but I'll give it to my baby, you know, like, oh, well, you know, I'd encourage you to try what you're feeding your child, and if it's not palatable to you.
Yes.
I mean, you know, but to an extent, whatever. Another trend is glucose water straight to the infant when they're born. Chevy found the cat again. It's the same thing. There's nothing nutritious about it. I mean, you know, yeah, you might need glucose to survive, but you certainly don't need it as an infant when mother's right there, you know, producing lots of milk for you and colostrum. And all it does is, I believe all it does is eventually promote tooth decay and intestinal problems. Is, yes. You know, just eating sugar, that's what it does.
Definitely.
So there's no good reason to do that at all.
And you want to stay away from soy, margarine, trans fats, anything low fat or reduced fat. Those are all...
Frankenfood.
No Frankenfood.
Yeah.
No Frankenfood. And one last encouragement on what to feed. Babies typically are deficient in protein, zinc, iron, and B vitamins when they begin the weaning process. When they start getting off breast milk, this is what they are typically deficient in. Protein, zinc, iron, and B vitamins. These are all found in meat.
And liver.
And liver, yes.
Organ, and folic acid is in meat.
Organ meats as well. And that's why they, in the rice cereal, they fortify it with all these things. But it's not the same as getting it from food. You always want to get it from food. And meat is an awesome source. We do stewed meats and very soft cooked meats and pureed them for Archer and Savannah when they were little. And then once they got a few teeth, now he does fine on his own with really soft tender meats, mm-hmm. just eating it as a finger food.
Well, so on to, I guess how to prepare your baby food. Christina mentioned the little baby food mill, which are certainly, I've seen one for like $15, and you know, you carry it around to a restaurant, it fits in your purse or whatever. But what we use actually is a stick blender. It's a handheld, it looks like a, I don't know what it looks like, but anyway, it's just a big stick with a blade on the end. It actually is most commonly used in your kitchen for like pureeing a soup or creaming a soup. But it works so well for baby food, and it's got a nice little cup attachment that you can make just a tiny bit. And you know, if you're in a hurry or don't have much to do, you just add a little water and puree whatever. It does an excellent job on meat. It does an excellent job on rice and you know, all sorts of things. I got mine for about $20 on Amazon. So
that's a good idea.
But in particular. There's, you know, you can just imagine all the ways you can feed your infant, young toddler, solids from your table. But for infants, Weston Price has a great formula that they have several different versions. If you have, you know, a cow's milk allergy or anything like that, they've got a milk-free formula. But they're all very nutrient-dense, mineral-dense. They're easy to digest. They're raw.
Slightly fermented as well, I think.
I
think it's slightly
formula. I've never done the full-on version of the formula, but it's pretty easy from what I understand. For Chevy, when we started needing milk supplementation, after he started eating a lot of solids, I would just give him raw cow's milk because I thought, you know, well, he's still breastfeeding and he's eating lots of solids, so all he really needs is just a little extra liquid stuff.
And one caveat, you don't want to just stop nursing or giving commercial formula and supplements just raw cow's milk.
Right.
The renal solute load is too high for that to be their only fluid.
Yes.
Supplementing, you know, or giving them a cup of raw milk with their food is very different than just stopping nursing and...
Right.
Just wanted to say that.
Yeah, and I'm still nursing. Just to, you know, he probably gets about, I'd say maybe like a third of his calories still from breast milk, and he's almost a year old. But maybe more. I don't know. It's really hard to tell when you're breastfeeding.
Cause, yes, who knows?
Yeah, but anyway, it's you can search it westonaprice.org. It's Weston with an O, aprice.org. And they've got several different versions of the formula. They've got a cow's milk formula, a goat's milk formula, and a broth-based formula that is milk-free. And they're all wonderful. They have, you know, they do require some additives because neither cow's milk nor goat's milk are complete for a human infant. And actually, you've heard, you know, like, oh, well, goat's milk is more digestible. It's better for humans, yada, yada. It's really not that much more similar than goat's milk to human milk. And actually, it's deficient in several things. It's got a different form of beta-carotene. It does not have any folic acid. It does not have any... some other vitamin, I can't remember what it is, but anyway, so if you can do cow's milk and it's
and it's, you know, available to you, then I'd say that's definitely the first choice if you can't do breast milk, is cow's milk. And then goat's milk. You know, I think the goat's milk thing is kind of just a fad. Goat's milk is digestible, but not really that much more so than cow's milk, so.
And once, with these recipes for formula, it is sufficient for nutrients and vitamins and minerals for what the child needs. And yes. It's a great alternative if you've adopted or if something happens and you can't breastfeed. Making your own formula is a great alternative.
I think it's actually more affordable than commercial formula, too, from what I understand.
Is it? I've never pressed it out.
I haven't either. We never bought any commercial formula, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, so happy eating and happy feeding your baby. I guess we were hoping to talk about colic and stuff like that, but I guess we'll have to save it for another.
Yes, we wanted to talk about colic and reflux, and we can do another podcast on what to eat while pregnant and what to feed your toddler and just more things to come, I guess.
Yep.
We're out of time today.
All right, that's going to do it for our show today. Remember, we want to hear from you, so if you have a question, you can submit it at eatingthegoodlifewithchristinapetit.com. Whether it's feedback about the show, inquiries, questions, feel free to submit them there, or you can email us directly at questions@eatingthegoodlifewithchristinapetit.com. Thanks for listening.